that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. And that old wheel has rolled around again. Here it is, Saturday, August 31st, the last day of August. Time marches on. We've got a 91st day coming up next month in just a couple of weeks. But time just continues to march on as this summer kind of draws down to an end. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We will have the phone lines opened up this morning if you want to give us a call and join in on the program. And well, Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll get going with that.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father. We ask that you just tend to the needs of the remnant across this land. We pray, Father, for you to just be with the remnant, Father, be with their needs, Father. We pray that you just continue to do a work, Father, war with those that war against us, and bless those that bless us, Father. We pray, Father, that you just allow us to be a light into a dark world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, again, good morning. And the phone lines are open if you'd like to give a call. 307-745-5913. And we'll be glad to talk with you this morning. And we do have a 91st day coming up on September 17th. That's just really a couple weeks away. We start September tomorrow. Labor Day weekend this weekend, so Monday's a holiday and lots of travel. People are traveling and camping and trying to get this end of summer, whether it's vacations or camping or whatever, in. And we've sure seen a lot more traffic and traveling and people on the go, and we'll be talking a little bit more, but those 91st days, we've got them at the website, folks, if you need to look at them, and want to make sure everybody's aware of that. And coming up in just a couple of weeks, and again, they are a type of Sabbath between the seasons. And that's what they do. They show the change of seasons. And, you know, for an agricultural people, which is how we started out, those are important things. And that's one of the reasons God had them in there. And so September 17th, if you can take it as a Sabbath, we encourage you to do that. It will mark the end of summer, beginning of fall. And what a summer it's been, just in the physical. It was a wet year going into the summer. Very few wildfires around, but boy, they're kicking up now. We're seeing them here in Wyoming, and we've had smoke from the Utah and Montana fires coming down here into Wyoming and parts of Colorado here for the last few weeks, and so that's picking up out here in the west. And then, of course, Hurricane Dorian, they're fixing to pound. Looks like it's coming in on Florida. Hurricane or Category 3, Category 4, 140 mile per hour winds. And so we would encourage you to pray for the remnant down in Florida. They're saying that where this is coming in, it's the strongest storm, I think I read earlier, to hit the Central Florida, East Coast Central Florida area the way it is, like in the last 40 years. And you know, the coastal towns, you get storms on the coast. And even the last couple of hurricanes that have come in and hit have really diminished, dropped down to tropical storms when they've hit. The weather models for this weekend do not show this this Category 4 hurricane diminishing. Well, why don't we pray for those people? Well, Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, and we do. We pray. We know that you have created nature. And Father, we just lift up the people of Florida, the remnant. Lord, the people, we know that there are some righteous there. And we lift them up for your protection. We pray your protection upon your people. Father, we can't speak for the other people, for the people that deny you, for the people that are just living in their sin and flaunting it and denying you. Father, I can't speak for them. I know your word does. But Father, I can lift up our desires to you and our desires for your people to be protected, Lord, along the coast, along the middle of the state. Father, all that are in the path of this hurricane, let it be a time of distinction, Lord. If destruction is coming, then, Father, if that is of you, then so be it. But, Father, spare your people. Let that distinction be seen among the heathen, among those that deny you, that, Father, that those that obey you, those that turn to you and call you Lord and King, that, Father, they are saved and delivered. And so we thank you for this, and we pray it in Jesus the Nazarene's name. Amen. And Jason, you've been down there in Florida as well, and so you know how that, you know, when they talk about wind, I mean, we'll get gusts up here. We have tractor trailers blown over on the road, you know, with 80 mile an hour gusts and things like that, but the air out here is dry, and boy, it's a different wind. It's just a bit more powerful. There's more to it, more humidity, and it seems like there with those hurricanes, and I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it, but it
sure can be.
Yeah. It looks massive. I don't
know, some of the last reports too said that that storm could be heading farther east, and it kind of took a turn, and maybe it might not have a direct hit on Florida too. So, you know, hopefully that's just an answer to prayer and that it doesn't do too much damage.
Amen.
You know, you think that after time and time again, I mean, it seems like every couple of years that they get hit with a hurricane, and every time it just doesn't seem like anybody's prepared for it.
You're right. I remember last year when that hurricane came up from the Gulf and just pounded Puerto Rico and the islands down there, and they thought it was coming in and just going to rip Florida off the map. And there was prayer and fasting that went on. And we spoke with people that lived down there, at least some that were in the know. and that hurricane just diminished as it rolled in the Keys and did not wipe the Keys off the map. Certainly flooded, but didn't. And I think it ties in with what Brother Jonathan's been talking about, that we've been given a reprieve time and time again. And I, I sure see that for what that was, a reprieve. That here the hand of God is, the nature He's created is just bearing down, ready to wipe the state out, and it just backed off. It just backed off miraculously. And you know, we do pray for the people down there. I know we've seen pictures and talked with people. But people are not prepared. They aren't prepared. I saw the governor put a note out that Floridians need to be prepared to be without power for 7 days. And the majority of them, they, you know, if they're without power for 7 minutes, they're freaking out. They're trying to call the power company and figure out what's going on. And we'll see. We'll see. But I think it is, like you said, a good reminder to be prepared. You know, what are you going to do if the light doesn't come on? You flip that switch. What are you going to do if the water doesn't come out of the faucet when you turn that on? You know, what are you going to do then?
Yeah, exactly. And there's just a lot of people that aren't prepared for anything. And you know, some people take it to the extremes. Absolutely. Some people take it to the extremes where, you know, they don't have any trust in God or any faith in God. You know, there's a fine line on what you're to do, but I think that the Bible's pretty clear on a lot of things, and one of those things is that we are to be prepared, you know, be able to take care of ourselves, you know, to be somewhat self-reliant. So, you know, it's a good idea.
Amen. Amen. And it just seems to be...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just agreeing with you.
You know, here in Loveland, I mean, you talk about, you know, we see all this stuff. It's like, you know, one of the things that we've talked a lot about here on the show is, you know, the gun control and the gun confiscation and those red flag laws that have tried to come in. And, you know, the importance of being armed and the importance of, you know, keeping and bearing arms. It's been part of our culture for a long time. It's part of our not only our constitutional rights, but it's a part of our God-given rights. And I wish people would make more of a stand on that. But you know, here in Loveland, Colorado, just this last week, a junior was suspended from high school pending a police investigation after he went to the shooting range with his mother and took pictures of him and his mother at the shooting range. And they've had an investigation going on, and it was one of the kids that had seen the pictures had reported him and told him that he was that he had pictures of himself holding a gun, and so they suspended him. And even the sheriff, he observes, and you know, his quote was. This Nathan is the kid's name was Nathan. It says Nathan's plight as a perfect example of the trouble that arises from putting laws in place where people can face punishment or have guns confiscated simply on accusations. And basically, the sheriff, he's, you know, completely against any of these red flag laws or anything that that have taken place. But, you know, the schools have a new program in that is called Safe to Tell, and they're encouraging, you know, they're encouraging communism is what they're doing when it boils right down to it. It, you know, it's communism. It's, you know, it's tattletaling on your neighbor. And it's a short read, but I'll read part of this. It says, a Loveland, Colorado junior was suspended from high school pending a police investigation after he went to a shooting range with his mother. The Complete Colorado reports that 16-year-old Nathan Myers was reported anonymously by another student after posting alleged threatening material to Snapchat. The alleged threatening material was a video of guns Nathan and his mother, Justine, posted before heading out to the range. The caption of the video said, "Fina be lit." Weld County Sheriff Stephen Rame spoke to the uproar over Nathan's video, saying people base their apprehensions on their own paradigm and their own fear of guns and gun culture. One kid is totally excited to go out to train on how to use a gun responsibly, while another kid is totally freaked out about seeing a gun. Bearing Arms reports that Loveland High School, the school suspending Nathan, is operating in line with the program called Safe to Tell. The program is designed to allow students an avenue to report possible threats. Sheriff Room observes Nathan's plight as a perfect example of the troubles that arise from putting laws in place where people can face punishment or have guns compensated simply on accusations.
Wow.
And, you know, that's what, you know, there's a small example of you know, what's happened basically statewide, and not just here, but I can't even remember how many states have passed these red flag laws. But, you know, it basically puts you in the limelight. It's just becoming the times that we're living in is you got to be harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent. And, you know, I mean, obviously, no, it's not the smartest thing to be doing is taking a picture of yourself holding a gun or take a video of yourself shooting a gun and putting it on social media. I mean, that's just, you know, we're living in difficult times and strange times, and, you know, should it be allowed? Absolutely. Is it the smartest thing to do right now? Absolutely not.
Right. Now, Jason, this wasn't a video like the Columbine killers did or anything like that, that was, you know, threatening really the school or people or anything. This was him and his mom going to the gun range. Hey, we're going to the gun range, spending some family time together to just learn how to use guns. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a situation where he was going to learn how to use a gun. He was going to learn proper gun safety handling, and you know, which is great. Kids need to learn firearm safety.
Absolutely.
They need to learn how to respect a firearm. I mean, I think that's one of the things that that's missing. When I was a kid, every kid knew how to shoot, whether they liked to shoot or not. It was something that was taught to them, and they had to know how to do it.
Amen. Amen. I graduated high school in 1983, and in junior high, 7th or 8th and 9th grade, we had hunter safety that you took in your agricultural class, and the same thing. You know, we would have afternoons where you'd go in and learn gun safety. It was part of the classes that we had then. And in high school, in the early 80s, every pickup truck, I would say almost without exception, had a gun rack in the back of it. And this is not just down in the heart of Dixie, but, you know, it was like that in Illinois. It was like that in many, many rural communities, that every pickup truck had a gun rack, had a loaded shotgun, had a loaded 30-30 in it, and the trucks were unlocked, the guns were loaded, but the people had, it seemed like, more morals than today. So we don't have a gun problem in this country the way the leftist liberals do. We have a morality problem. These guns are looked at as, oh, they're evil, and so, you know, we don't want anything to do with them. You see the little saying time and time again that, you know, if a conservative, a Christian, doesn't want to eat meat, they just don't. They don't go and ban it. If a Christian doesn't want to have a gun, don't buy one. If a conservative or a left-wing liberal doesn't want a gun, he wants to ban them to where you can't have them either. And it's just not, it is, like you said, it goes against our culture. It goes against who we are as a people. When you look at other countries, you see how they are ruled. You know, in Cameroon, down there off of Africa, just saw this headline from a little Christian news group down there. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you have, Wycliffe Bible Translators. People, you've heard of that, Wycliffe. They have taken the call of to go into all the world and share the gospel and to translate the Bible into every language at least get the gospel, the New Testament, into other languages. And, you know, they're winding down, you might say. They've almost got it done. Well, they're in Cameroon translating Bibles into whatever they speak there in Cameroon. Well, these Hutsi tribesmen come in. They kill the Wycliffe Bible translator. They hack his wife's arms off with machetes because that's what they do. And so, you know, there is evil out there in the world. Okay? There is evil out there. And, you know, if somebody comes at you with a machete, it doesn't have to be an AR-15. It doesn't have to be an AK-47. It seems like the first murder we heard about was Cain and Abel, right? And Cain used a rock. And so, you know, it is just absurd and foundless, you know, this horror that the left has for these firearms. And I think it comes out in that story that you were saying. Here's a 16-year-old that just goes out with his mom, not with others, not with, you know, not in a threatening manner in any way. And he's vilified. He's suspended from school. That'll probably be on his record for life. So if he wants to get into military academy, if he wants to have a good high-paying job and maybe work in a nuclear facility or something like that where they do extensive background checks, nope, that'll be denied to him. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep, it sure is. You know, and the thing is they, you know, people need to take the time and spend time with their children and teach them how to shoot a firearm, how to load it, how to clean it, how to take care of it. You know, they need to learn that there's respect there. You know, they need to learn that, you know, when you tell them don't touch it, you know, don't touch it.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, there's different kinds of children, and if they grow up around them and they learn growing up to respect them, they have a lot more respect for them when they're older.
Yes.
You know, some people freak out, oh, you have to have the guns, you know, with a key lock on the, or a trigger lock on them, in the safe, locked up, and the ammo locked up in a separate, safe for a lockbox. You know, my approach is you have them in plain view where you can get to it and you can use it if you need to, but the children grow up learning to respect it, and the little children know that they don't touch it.
Right.
The older children know that they touch it with permission and permission only.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we grew up with... didn't have a lot of guns, didn't really have pistols, but, you know, the shotguns were in the gun rack on the wall. They were unloaded, but the little drawer at the bottom of the gun rack, we've all seen them, the little three, holds three little guns, little wooden gun rack that hangs on the wall, and the shotgun shells were in the drawer right there underneath it, so that if you did need it, you know, you get it. We had a neighbor call the other night and said our dog got hit by a porcupine. And we can still see the porcupine. The husband's off on a fire. And they called and said, hey, can you help out? And we grabbed the shotgun and booked it down there. The porcupine had already left. It wasn't there anymore. But you know, and it's not just porcupines. It's two-legged animals in this lawless society that we live in. And I remember our pastor, you know, he's several messages on gun control. We have several pamphlets on it. If you're not familiar with it, or if you remnant would like some information or some material to hand out to your friends, we have pastor's messages on gun controls on, with pamphlets and a small booklet. The booklet is everything preachers are afraid to tell you about gun control, because it is, like you said, Jason, I like how you put it, it is our constitutional right, but before that, and greater than that, it is our Christian right and duty, not just a right that you say, well, I'm supposed to have this. No, it is our duty to provide for our families and to keep them safe. And so it is the Christian's duty certainly to pray for his family, but also to provide for them and to keep them safe. And if you love your family, you have to hate anyone or anything that would come against them. Anyone or anything that would want to cause them harm. And you cannot love, our pastor taught that, you cannot love without hating. You know, David said it, Psalms 139, 21 through 22, "Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies." And it's those that rise up against him, those that will not repent, that cannot repent, that are like that woman that we read about in the Bible, that wipes her mouth and says, "I've done nothing wrong." And that's how so many of these anti-gunners are. Now, I think a lot of them are just deceived. You know, a lot of them are deceived. I sure saw that, Jason, with the boys did the 4-H this year. And this past year in the spring and summer, and part of it was shooting sports. And in the spring, they hold the gun safety course, the firearm safety course that you have to take to get a hunting license now. There were 65 people in there, not just children, but mainly, you know, junior high age type. But there were adults and everything. It was virtually standing room only. And I think that's good, because it's like that almost every year, that there are people that are, you know, some anyway, that are wanting to do that. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Well,
amen.
I'm glad you guys are doing good. By the way, I have for a number of weeks now, I've been kind of off shortwave listening because it's been so horrible with the reception and all. I was wondering if you guys are still broadcasting.
Yep, we are. And got some good reports. We've had to do some repairs on the station. You know, when you're dealing with some of that equipment, it's sometimes we have to do quite a bit of repairs, and went through a spell where we've had to do some repairs. It's costing an arm and a leg to do it, and so it's taking a little longer than normal, but we are up and broadcasting and getting some good reception reports now.
Okay. I'll have to go out in the truck. I put a mounted an amateur radio with a 20-meter stick antenna, like a whip antenna, up on the roof of the truck, and was out last night, you know, tuning around and seeing what I could pull in. And usually at dusk up here, I'm at about 1,900 feet elevation, which is pretty hilly. I wouldn't say mountainous, but it's pretty hilly around here, and I can. Pull in DX stations, even on AM broadcasts, you know, during the evening. Just about dusk, it starts getting good. But I haven't been able to hear you guys on shortwave. I'm just curious.
Yeah, still booming out. And like Jason said, have had, sometimes that's just the nature, I guess, of shortwave, that it's, especially,
it sure is, yep.
Especially as the seasons change. You know, as you have different weather and different weather patterns and whatnot. But yeah, still booming out. And of course, on WTWW, and you can, you know, on the shortwave, you can tune in. You can also tune in on our website, their website. But yeah, it is still booming.
Yeah. Oh. Guys are talking about firearms and attitudes toward people, attitudes of various peoples towards even the mere mention of a firearm. Some people are so programmed and brainwashed against trigger words, buzzwords, and catchphrases, you know? Firearms. It evokes, like, prickles on the back of some people's neck. My brother's wife is one such creature. A lovely woman, in almost all respects, but anything that she does not understand, anything that startles her, is pretty much, you can't even talk about it in her house, in their house. It's a thing that we got to deal with, I guess. You have to walk on eggshells around certain people. Just don't bring it up. For my own part, I've got loaded weapons in various places here, readily accessible. And it's a deal where, you know, I have to, I mean, up here in PA, I mean, you they look at you funny when you when you don't have a weapon. You know, state police are afraid, really, to come up here at certain times of the day or night.
Yeah. Funny you mentioned that, Joe.
They don't like coming out here.
You know, Joe,
they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
So, and we don't have a police department, and there's not even a traffic light down in town. It's so quiet. But and well, everybody's very polite.
Amen.
Like you know, George Washington said that, I guess. An armed society is a polite society.
Well, it is. It is.
The mere presence of them is a deterrent to evil interference.
It is. It is.
And even more deterrent is the knowledge that they're there, but you can't see them.
Sure. Sure. Well, Joe, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Oh, okay, brothers.
All right.
God bless.
All right.
Bye now.
You know, Jason, it's interesting. Joe mentioned that about the people expected to be armed. I I don't remember why, but I hit a deer. We had a little car a couple years ago. Hit a deer, totaled the car out, and didn't get injured. But we're side the road waiting on everything because it couldn't go anywhere. And the highway patrolman came up and gave him my license and insurance and all that, and my carry permit, and he handed it back, and he said that I'd be ashamed if you weren't carrying, and and I thought, well, you know, there's a at least in some ways a like-minded individual.
Absolutely.
You know, the settlers of this land, our forefathers, whether it was out west or in the Allegheny Mountains or back east or whatever, they have always been an armed society. In Hong Kong, no. And you see the protesting that's going on there, and that's all that they can do. They can protest what's going on, but they are an unarmed society, and so they can disagree, but that's all they can do. They have no other recourse. But when this nation was formed, our forefathers understood that, for one, it was a wild area. But, you know, the Second Amendment that you hear so much about is nothing to do with hunting, nothing to do with even with shooting for pleasure. It is that you know, you will be able to defend yourself against whether it is wolves, whether it is invaders, or whether it is an ungodly and unruly government, because that is what our forefathers had just come out of. They were just coming out of this British rule, you know, that was what was on their mind. It's just like when you read the Bible and you see a scripture, you have to take it in context and to understand, you know, the meaning, the purpose behind it, why it was put down the way it was. And it's that same way. But so much of that has been lost. And I think you mentioned earlier, it's socialism, it's communism that that wants an unarmed society. I remember our pastor saying one time that anybody that wants to disarm you is not your friend. It is as simple as that. They do not have your interest at heart to disarm you. And history is full of the people that have been disarmed and then been overrun. And it's still that way today. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. You can call in 307-745-5913 if you'd like to call in. And yeah, Jason, I saw that Hong Kong protest is just that's like the 13th weekend. I guess they work during the week and then on the weekend they protest. I'm not sure. I haven't followed it a whole lot.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
But they're sure.
Gotta take a call real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. They're sure hitting those Hong Kong protests. Saw one little bit. I guess it's the 5th anniversary of China declaring that there can be no democratic elections, or they say democratic elections, but the Chinese still have to approve of who runs. And so it's just a farce. And so but the protests that you see, the people rise up and protest and throw a few rocks, and they're hit back with water cannons and sound machines and everything but tanks. So lots of turmoil going on there. I think we see it here in our nation as well. Well, you see the headlines, and it is as if if you believe the media, you would think that that our president is just desiring to destroy America, when in fact he's, I think, trying to get it rebuilt, trying to, again, as we mentioned earlier and as Jonathan has mentioned many times, that it is a reprieve. It is just a glimpse for our people to see that we can be better. That we can be better. There is work. There are jobs. I think our president is working on bringing more jobs back to this country and putting America first. Taking care of our own before we take care of others. And that in itself is a biblical principle, like we mentioned earlier with the firearms, and in that we have to do that. We have to, when you fly in an airplane, they have that concept down. You can't argue with it. If you experience a loss of cabin pressure, the oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. Put your mask on and get oxygen first. Then help others that are around you. Because you can't help others if you don't help yourself first. If you haven't taken the time, the effort, the energy to, you might say, get your own house in order, to provide for yourself, that has to come first. You have to, and it's not the hooray for me and the heck with you attitude. It's not that at all. But you can't help others. We can't help these other nations. We send missionaries down to build, huts and houses in Guatemala and Mexico and everywhere else. And we ignore the homeless problem here in this country. And that is, it doesn't work. It gives a little feel-good attitude, but there's no fruit, no lasting fruit to that. We have to recognize that. And I think that part of this reprieve that we are getting right now is showing that we can do better. We can be better as a people. And on the spiritual side, we need to be. We need to be. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You're listening to Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles here, and hopefully you've been reading them. We suggest you to. It all it takes is, we suggest you keep your Bible handy, just like Joe from Pennsylvania called in and said he's got several loaded firearms around, because you never know what might show up. And so we encourage
never
you
know.
to be familiar with you know, with those firearms. You know, remember, treat them as if they're loaded and keep them loaded. Keep them safe. Be, you know how to use them. And the same way with the Word. Keep that Bible handy. You need to wear your Bible out. You do. You do. You know, Jason, I broke one of my holsters. You might say I wore it out. And contacted them, and they said, oh yeah, lifetime warranty, you know, get it to us, we'll get it fixed for you, no problem. And so I was happy about that. You know, you don't mind paying for something like that. That's a good quality product, and that they'll stand behind it, made in America and all that good stuff. But we need to wear our Bibles out as well. You do. Your Bible needs to be dog-eared. It needs to be highlighted and hopefully notes written in it and falling apart at the seams. Because if you have a Bible like that, more than likely you won't have a life like that. Because the things that we experience here in this life, we read about in the Word. And we have instructions. That's what this Word is. And anywhere you open it up and you look at it by the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is part of that daily bread, that daily nourishment that we need to have.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to remind people about too is we're starting to go into flu season. And you know, flu season is, it's just around the corner. And I was in, I was talking with some doctors this week, and, you know, and they said, hey, be sure to keep reminding people, get on their vitamin D3. It's, you know, it's that time of year again. And it seems like, boy, it seems like we just went through that time of year, but, you know, it's back, time flies. And, you know, some of the stuff that they're coming out with on vitamin D3 is just phenomenal on how many different things it's helping people with. I mean, everything from blood pressure, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and I mean, it's just phenomenal. So wanted to encourage people to remember to get that, get on it. Now's the time to, if you haven't been taking it through the summer, now's the time to get on it. Start taking it now. Well, the sun's changing, and people aren't getting the sunlight that they were, you know, last week, last month. So we do have that available, and we've got really good quality stuff. We've searched high and low, trying to have the top quality, 10,000 units to a gel cap, highest quality, and try to have the lowest price on it.
Amen.
And we've had a lot of people that tell us absolutely we do. So, you know, that's our goal. But we do have that available. But there was an article that I had just finished reading, and there's so much stuff as far as coming out on vitamin D. They have a vitamin D council that is just, I mean, just filled with information. But this one, it says vitamin D is well known for having a wide range of beneficial effects on the human body. The so-called sunshine vitamin is responsible for better bone health, a stronger immune system, improved lung function, a healthier heart. Vitamin D deficiency is linked to higher risk of hypertension, high blood pressure, and it's also known to negatively impact insulin production among people with type 2 diabetes. A new study now suggests that vitamin D may also affect the mind. In particular, vitamin D deficiency may have adverse cognitive effects such as poor memory and even schizophrenia. And so they've been doing a lot of studying on it, and it's one of those things that you just really don't want to be without.
Amen.
So that's kind of an infomercial, but I want to remind people of it, because the people that get on it, they it seems like the ones that don't get the flu during flu season are the ones that are taking their vitamin D, their vitamin C. You know, their immune systems are up, and some of these flus that are coming around, every couple of years, you know, we have the swine flu coming around, we have the bird flu coming around, we have, you know, some kind of new influenza virus that happens to appear, And you know, we're going into that season where it's possible that you know, that this year that they've got a new strain. So you know, the best thing to do to fight against that is to have a good, healthy, strong immune system.
Right.
And this sure helps.
Right. Amen. You know, many people are familiar with the vitamin C. You know, people, oh, you get a cold, increase your vitamin C. Drink orange juice. You know, that's, I think, probably a little more common in people's mindset for that than the D3. I know before, you know, heck, just a few years ago, I was not familiar with the D3, but I know your dad had talked about it, and you have, and pushed and promoted it, and you know, we do the same thing when the children feel a cold or, you know, complain about a scratchy throat or something. It's the vitamin C that you kind of increase, but the D3 as well, and it sure does help. There's no doubt about that. And like that article that you read, Jason, the the deficiencies that we see, the diseases that are coming in with the invaders, mumps, you know, I saw a headline, mumps, over 900 cases of mumps in 57 different, they call them immigration facilities. It's where they bring these invaders in and try to process them. Over 900 new cases just in the last, really not even the last year. It's like since October of last year. And other than that, you know, mumps has been almost eradicated. And so we see things like that. Mumps, had a lady that was visiting Mexico, saw this, died of dengue fever. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not. That's phonetically, I guess, but which is a mosquito-borne disease that has been all but eradicated, and a healthy, like in her 30s, young 30s, healthy woman died of dengue fever down in Mexico. And so these diseases, like you said, that they are all over. And with flu season right here, absolutely, we need to do all we can. The foods that we get in the marketplace are deficient in these things, and so you need to make sure you're taking your supplements, folks, taking your vitamins, doing those things. Again, taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, as much as possible, as much as possible. And the other thing I've noticed about this D3, Jason, is I've ordered stuff from, you know, different vitamin companies, not to mention any names, but two or three of the online companies. And even when you go down to the local, like the GNC and the vitamin shops and stuff around, they have D3, and you usually see it, and it's like a 400 IU tablet.
Yeah.
And it's like, really?
400 or 1,000.
Yeah.
I was looking at it the other day just to check in some prices and stop by a few stores, you know, they had a 1,000 unit capsule, and there was 90 in a capsule, and they wanted $28 for it. So it was, the prices, you know, here you're getting a full bottle of 10,000 units. I mean, 10,000, that's 10 to 1. So that's
yes,
equivalent to 10 capsules of their stuff, or 100 capsules of their stuff equals 10 capsules of our stuff.
Right.
And, you know, so you're basically paying less than one-tenth of the price. I mean, one-tenth of the price is huge.
Right.
You know, and which granted, I mean, all supplements aren't created equal, but this is a high-quality product, so that's the difference.
It is. And you're not having to take 10
price
pills.
Quality is good, so.
Yeah, and you're not having to take 10 pills, a whole handful. Who likes to do that? You know, you can take one or even two of these if you have to with some good vitamin C, and you know, that needs to be at least a base. I know when I've noticed that, and we push and promote that with our children and have them do that. Is, you know, you get your vitamin C every day, you get your D3, and then if you need something specific, we address that. But that's kind of a you know, almost a probably not a daily thing, but close to it, you know. And So we do recommend that. And like you said, Jason, the price is definitely affordable. You can see it in the newsletter. We've had several good articles. Jason has put together several great articles on that D3, and we still advertise it in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And you can see and read about it online in the catalog as well at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on right there on the left on the SFA store, and it'll take you right to it. It's got a search function there. You can look through and see what's available and do a secure transaction and order it and check it out right there. We get an email almost immediately, and then we've got it in stock. We'll get it right out to you. And like Jason said, it's not really an infomercial, but it's informative to let you know that we have these things that are available for you to help you physically as well as hopefully spiritually with the rest of the things that we have there on the website.
Yes. Yep. Yep, that's for sure. And we've got, we got to working on putting together a new newsletter too. So make sure that if you're not getting that, we want you to be getting that newsletter. Dragon Slayer Newsletter Magazine. Write to us. Call us. Send up smoke signals, whatever you want. We'll get you put on that newsletter list and send it out to you. A lot of good information on there.
Yes.
Another thing that we've been going through quite a few of lately is the Book of Jasher. John's been bringing a series of messages that are just fantastic from the pulpit at LaPorte Church of Christ. And, I had a person call me, this week, and they're like, I need to get a copy of the Book of Jasher. That's really interesting. I read about it online. Want to get that, follow along, read that. And a lot of people have been doing that. They've been reading that Book of Jasher. Fantastic read. I've read it years and years ago and started reading it recently again, and just really enjoy it. It's a good read. It just it's not on the level of the gospel by any means, and, don't want to hold it up to be there, but, good, it's a good parallel, it's good information. There's some really good stories in there.
Sure.
And it's like a history book about our forefathers, and that's what I get encouraged about. It's like they had these abilities, and they had these things that they could do, and these powers that almost seem fairy tale like. But that was our forefathers that possessed these things, and it's pretty exciting.
It is, and that has been a very popular book that's being ordered quite a bit. I just got in two new boxes of them. We have them available, the Book of Jasher, and if you'd like it, again, it's advertised, as Jason said, in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. A great historical, fills in some gaps. When you read through it, it really does. It kind of lets you go, oh, well, that makes sense. And it just, again, it kind of fills in some of the gaps when you read through the who's and the whys and the what's happened, especially like, and John's been bringing it, between Esau and Jacob and why some of the things and how some of the things happened. And it is a great read, a good reference book, and that's the Book of Jasher, and we have that. Well, Jason, we're winding up this morning, just about out of time. We do want to encourage you to come to church tomorrow, folks. You can come to church with us at the LaPorte Church of Christ. I think we have some visitors coming over from Nebraska, and they had done as we requested. They sent us an email and said, hey, we're probably going to join you Sunday. So we replied back, said we'd love to have you. And if you want to join us physically at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado, we ask that you do that. Give us a call or let us know you're coming. But you can join us on the internet right there where you're listening right now. Or if you want to join in and see the live video stream, you can do that starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can do that right at scripturesforamerica.org. Just click on the live video stream, and just about any electronic device you have should pick it up. Jason's done a great job of making sure that whatever you have should be able to pick it up. And and you can join us. You know, our pastor saw that years and years ago, the need certainly for fellowship, the need to be able to, even if it's on the internet, even if it's just for a couple hours, to join with like-minded Christians, to hear the Word of God preached, and to partake of communion together, and it's a way to do that. And it has, according to the remnant, and we know it, it has blessed many to be able to do that. And so we encourage you to do that. Again, scriptures4america.org, just click on the live video stream and on Sunday mornings, and we'll be there. And again, as Jason said, we've got the Dragon Slayer newsletter working on Volume 5. And so if you don't get that, we'd be glad to mail it to you. Our mailing address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And pleased to say we have many new people every week that are writing in and requesting the newsletter. And so you can send us an email as well. If you do that, our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And just send us an email and we can get you on that list. Well, thanks, and hopefully we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them hell's and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out,
ride them
more, snake-eyed. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake-eyed.